Welcome to the AI Business Podcast, where we feature conversations with interesting guests at the intersection of artificial intelligence and business.
Hi, I'm Deborah Yao, the editor of AI Business, and I'm very pleased to welcome Anoop Cherian, who is the Senior Principal Research Scientist at Mitsubishi Electric Research Laboratories. Welcome, Anoop.
Hi, Deborah. Nice to meet you. And thanks for arranging this conversation.
Can you tell me more about Mitsubishi Electric Research Labs and your role there?
Mitsubishi Electric Research Labs is the subsidiary of Mitsubishi Electric Corporation, the Japanese company. And we are a part of the corporate research and development part of Mitsubishi Electric Corporation, and was founded in 1991. Since then, we have filed more than 1,600 patents, and we do application-driven basic research in a lot of areas in science. I mean, it's not really just AI or robotics or such, but we do research in multiphysical systems, control systems, dynamic modeling, a lot of other things, including AI and robotics. I'm a senior principal research scientist. I belong to the computer vision group at Mitsubishi Electric Research Labs, or MERL, and based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I'm fascinated about deep neural networks, machine learning in general, and with applications to computer vision problems. I'm also currently quite excited about multimodal reasoning, that is not just computer vision, but combining audio, language, text, tactile sensing, and all other modalities into a comprehensive reasoning pipeline. So that's one of the projects that I'm kind of leading. And I'm also now interested towards more cognitive understanding problems and building such knowledge bases that humans have into reasoning processes in machine learning methods. And that's a topic that I've been very excited about in the recent past.
Great, thank you. And Anoop, I'm very excited about one of your most recent papers, which you've co-authored with your colleagues at Mitsubishi and also folks from MIT. And it has a really intriguing title. Are deep neural networks smarter than second graders? I mean, way back when there was a TV show that are you smarter than a I think it was fourth grader, but what an intriguing title. Can you tell us more about this paper and what you and your co-authors set out to discover?
So this paper came out from a fascination to understand and objectively analyze the performances or capabilities of deep neural networks. I mean, we have seen deep neural networks being capable of a lot of things or feats that would require superior cognitive abilities, for example, passing bar exams or lawyers exams, or generating content like images and audio novels, all those kind of surpassing human artists and human capabilities. So a fundamental question is, how do you objectively evaluate new deep neural networks capabilities? As you know, the way humans evaluate human intelligence is using IQ tests. And these IQ tests there are different types of IQ tests that kind of capture different aspects of human intelligence. And they kind of provide you with an objective understanding of the capabilities. And is there a possibility that we can use such IQ tests for evaluating AI? And perhaps IQ tests are for machine learning algorithms are perhaps a bit far-fetched, because I would think AI is not really in a stage where it has the capabilities of adult reasoning processes. So where are we actually standing? And that is when I came across a set of objective puzzles from second grader Olympiads. And I was fascinated to think, are these deep neural networks really capable of solving such puzzles which a second grader can solve easily? And so we created this data set and put to test all the state-of-the-art deep neural networks out there to understand how capable are they in solving these puzzles. And our findings were really surprising to some extent. But at the same time, if you think from a from a person who has done machine learning research for like 15 years, it's not, also not so surprising. So apparently, I mean, so what we have, we are kind of showing in this, through this paper is that maybe from a public's perspective, there is a lot of capabilities that a neural network seems to have. But from an objective analysis, we want to show that there is a significant gap in this perception from what the what in reality a deep neural network is capable of. And I think that is what is being brought out in the paper that we have written.
So you can you tell me more specifically what are some of the findings of your paper?
To set the premise of the paper, the paper builds on a task called simple multimodal algorithmic reasoning task. And it's simple because it's based on second graded puzzles. It's multimodal because it has vision and language in it. And it is not really looking at the perception side of reasoning. Perception as in you see an image of a cat and you say it's a cat. That deep neural networks are very capable of doing. But then if you are given a problem, how do you derive an algorithm or a process to solve the problem? For example, sometimes you have to derive a mathematical formula to solve a problem, which kids can come up with very, very easily. And so that is the algorithmic reasoning part of this challenge that we have put out. And so that is why it's called SMART, or simple multimodal algorithmic reasoning task. And what we went out to evaluate is, given a problem, a very simple problem of that premise, whether deep neural networks can come up with this algorithm to solve it, by solving the perception side, that is looking at the image, understanding the language side, that is understanding the language with respect to the image, and come up with a formula to solve it automatically. And we found from our analysis that, I mean, we did this analysis or evaluation of several state-of-the-art deep neural networks, and we found that their performances are not better than random. Kids perform nearly to an accuracy of like 70-75%, whereas deep neural networks' performances, even the latest large language models, their performances are in the ballpark of 35%, which is almost less than half of what kids had on this. So there's a significant gap to fill. So the main message out of this is that maybe neural networks are not as intelligent as they are perceived to be, and there is a significant gap to fill.
So first of all, tell us which models you tested, and secondly, why do you believe there is such a gap?
So we tested the latest models, large language models, including ChatGPT, GPT-4, GPT-4 with Bing, the Bing interface to GPT-4, which has, I think, three different levels, like creative, precise, and balanced. So there are different parameters that you can adjust to produce more diverse results, or less diverse results, but more precise results. We also evaluated Google's Bard. Those were the main platforms or large language models we evaluated on our data set. I would say that our original data set consists of 101 puzzles, and they are vision and language puzzles, whereas these large language models are pure text only, so they don't understand the images. It's only the part, the language part, that it can understand and reason on. So we have created a subset of our original puzzles. The subset has only text as part of their questions, or it might have an image part, but then the image part is irrelevant for understanding and answering the question. So we use only the subset of those puzzles. And the evaluation was based on that.
So let's back up a little bit. Can you tell me an example of a puzzle? And so our listeners will know exactly what kind of puzzle the AI is being asked to solve.
Our data set is not focused on one specific type of puzzle, but it has a spread across multiple skill sets that the neural network or the algorithm should have to solve the puzzle. I mean, the skill sets could be from counting to maybe tracing a path on an image, Or it could also be other skills such as arithmetic skills, algebra skills. But these are not really like skills that you have should have in-depth knowledge of. These are skills that a basic reasoning process should have. Or for example, a kid will possess these skills. Even though they might not know that it's algebra, but they kind of understand that this is how it has to be, and they are implicitly doing algebra. So that those are the kind of puzzles that we have. And one example of a puzzle could be that maybe there is a pizza party, and there are several slices of pizza, and say a person invited three of her friends for the party, and each person ate two slices of pizza. So how many, and if there were like, to start with, maybe 20 slices of pizza, how many slices of pizza would be left at the end of the party? If each person ate two slices, and this person invited maybe two, three friends for the party. So this is a kind of a typical puzzle that that we have in our data set. And as you know, this is a very simple puzzle that people can solve quickly. But apparently this puzzle happened to be too tough for deep neural networks. And in most of the platforms we tried this puzzle on, the platform or the algorithm was not able to know that the person who invited the friends, that those friends are counted, but the person itself was or herself was not counted. So if each person eats three slices of pizza or two slices of pizza, and there are three friends and one person, so there are four people actually, but neural networks always think only three friends, and so it's like three times two is six. Six slices is what the number of slices that were eaten, and the person was not counted in. And this was a consistent mistake across most of the platforms we tried, and that made this puzzle, I mean, the understanding from a social perspective that the person who invited is also a person part of the gang, I think that was missed. And kids could solve it because kids understand that there is this is a person as well. So I think that such caveats are there, and I think that is something that that neural networks are lacking from a social perspective. If you are looking only at the language side of things and deriving algebra or formulations from it, perhaps we are missing some details. And I think that is what neural networks are kind of having.
So most of your puzzles are, however, match an image with a question, right? Question to solve, puzzle to solve. But you also only had text-only questions?
It has text-only questions. I mean, it has text-only questions. And I think it's about 14% of the puzzles, of the 101 puzzles, have either text or it has text and image. But then the image part of the puzzle is sort of like a distractor. You need to understand or read the question to understand whether I need to look at the image to answer it, or maybe I can completely ignore the image and just use the text for answering the questions. And so that's sort of like a distractor. Maybe if you look at the image, maybe you will be getting more confused. So that's another level of intelligence or reduction that the neural network should have to see whether it needs to understand the image or the text or just the text. So that's, the reasoning process.
Your findings are remarkable given that there's so much press around ChatGPT passing like bar exams, you know,
right,
getting into a business school, etc. How do you explain that discrepancy? Is it a matter of one being more general and one being very precise?
It's actually very surprising to me as well. There could be multiple reasons for this. I would think one of the reasons could be that there could be a lot of data from, say, training schools and other places out there. I mean, if for example, exam is very exciting or is very important for a lot of people, and there is a lot of traction to clear that exam. Maybe there is a lot of course material out there open in the internet or maybe paid services and such. So there is a lot of material that could influence a deep neural network to train and master those skills much more than maybe a second grader puzzles it. So I think that is this is basically an after effect of a huge bias in the training sets used for teaching neural networks. And the puzzles that we use in our data set, perhaps not too many people care about. And that is why these skill sets are not really heavily trained on, that they perform significantly bad. Another thing is maybe that the kind of questions that they have in their evaluations, they probably need certain type of skills, maybe algebra skills or arithmetic skills. And the kind of puzzles that we have are a composition of skills that it would need. I mean, it needs to have to know first to do counting, for example, and then you do arithmetic and then do some path tracing. So it's this compositionality that brings in extra challenges for deriving the algorithm that makes it even harder. So there are different levels of problems that I can think of that could be the reason for this.
So in your paper, you also said that some models, when they pick the wrong answer, these errors are not random, but rather they were convincingly selecting the wrong answers. Can you explain that a bit more, and what are the implications of that?
For example, the puzzle about the pizza problem puzzle, that was one of the examples where I think 90% of the time the neural network was actually selecting the wrong answer, which is that is ignoring the person who actually invited the friends. It's because maybe the neural network found that from the premise of the question that there are each person eats two slices of pizza and there are three friends. So there is a very easy arithmetic formula that you can derive from it. And incorporating the knowledge that the person who invited the friends is also a person to be counted in, that needs a big leap in its inference. Need to have access to some social behavior and the presence and the context and all other details that needed a significantly larger leap in formulating the problem. So I think it just went with the easy way out and created this algebraic setup or arithmetic setup to solve this. And if such problems where there is a deviation or digression in the thought process that needs to be used to come to the correct way of solving a problem, I think those are the places where deep neural networks seem to have a significant gap in performance. And such problems, I think it needs better algorithmic design to solve these kind of problems. And but there are other problems where the variance is large. For example, sometimes it gets the correct answer 50% of the time and such. I think that such settings are even more traumatic because it doesn't know what to answer. And how do you, with just one example, you won't be able to say whether this is going to be a confident answer or not. And you have to have a set of answers sampled from the answer distribution to understand how it is responding. There is a huge scale in which these kind of the variance is that it looks to me that all the correct solutions are there in the latent landscape of a deep neural network, but our algorithms or current way of making a neural network find the correct answer from this landscape, that mechanism has not been well tuned, that we need a lot more work on that.
So there's another thing in your paper that was intriguing, and I can see the implications to companies, which is Bard and ChatGPT. You found that they came up with more varied answers. And that's kind of problematic for companies looking for their model to come up with the same answer and very precise answer again and again.
That is true. The sensitivity has been observed in several other contexts as well. And I think the problem is that we don't quite understand why it is answering that way. Sometimes we have observed that it comes up with an answer, and when you ask it to explain the answer, it provides a good explanation, and then it comes up with the right answer at the end, once the explanation is in place. So it looks to me that maybe the reasoning process and coming up with the answer straight away without any explanations, I think there is perhaps some gap, and explainability might be the right way to approach neural networks to produce more coherent and perhaps more understandable ways of how it generates answer, and kind of point out that, oh, this step of reasoning process is wrong, and then you have to fix it. I think that explanations are perhaps the way to go, and analyzing such responses.
So ChatGPT just recently became multimodal. Do you think that would maybe make your results different? Maybe make AI models perform better?
I think multimodality is perhaps a different leap in AI in general. I mean, large language models was a significant leap in itself. Multimodality is a different leap, but then it's actually a bigger leap from large language models. And given all the problems with large language models so far, and our inability to understand its reasoning process, I would think perhaps multimodality would be bringing in more significant challenges, and understanding and analyzing them, I think, is going to be significantly more difficult. But I believe that multimodal ChatGPT or GPT-4 is probably not out yet. It's probably in the works, and it's not publicly released. But we are looking forward to have that model and at least evaluate on our full set of puzzles in our data set to understand whether it's actually going to really solve the problem or not.
So this is just for our listeners' benefit, but your paper was actually published in December 2022 before GPT-4 came out. So can you explain a little bit of how you were able to test GPT-4 as well?
The paper came out in December. I mean, the archive version of the paper came out in December 2022. And at that point, we evaluated only the textually part of the GPT 3.5 model. And then we reevaluated the performances on GPT-4 when it came out, again textually, because we don't have access to the multimodal side of GPT-4. The performances were pretty much the same on the puzzles that we tested. Between GPT 3.5 and GPT-4, even on the BARD, as well as the Bing's integration with GPT-4, we believe, I mean, the performances are similar, except for some variant of Bing, for example, creative or the balanced variants. Their performances were a little lower compared to the one with precise. So we just compared on only the textually part of the puzzles.
So can you explain what are the practical implications of your research, specifically for companies, enterprise users?
So if you consider this paper, I think the practical implications are enormous. I would say this the usefulness in three terms. One is abstraction, the second is the deduction, and then the third is generalization. Abstraction because, when you see a problem, there could be, for example, say, the problem of you have a bunch of boxes. Each box has some weight, and you want to put these boxes on a shelf, and you want to have all the heavy items at the lower levels of the shelf and lighter ones at the top of the shelf. So you need to figure out a way to arrange these boxes, And you first need to know what are the weights of these boxes, and then you have to sort them and then put it on the shelf. Now, how do you, so the problem of sorting is the critical problem here. And whether you are sorting these, so it doesn't really matter to you whether these boxes are boxes of weights or maybe boxes of apples, or whether the boxes are made of some specific material. All these different things are not really bothering you. It's if you are looking at this problem, it's only that the weight of these boxes should be known when you are going to shelf them. And so you have to abstract away all other details except for the weight. And how do you abstract it? That is a part of intelligence, that you have to figure out what is the important element of algorithmic reasoning that you should have to come up with this, with the solution to this problem. So that is the abstraction part of the problem, which is, I think, essential to any sort of reasoning. The second is the deduction. What is the procedure? What you have to figure out the sorting algorithm to stack these boxes on the shelf. And sorting means that you have to first maybe put the heaviest box at the lower level of the shelf, and then go up in the hierarchy. And that sorting is the deduction. That is, how do you come up with the solution to solve this problem? And the third is generalization, and that is basically the sorting problem that you figured out is not just for that particular stacking of boxes on the shelf problem, but it could be generalized to any other problem that you can actually think of where sorting is an essential component. And so that is the generalization aspect of this. And these three elements are critical to any sort of algorithmic reasoning and real world problem solving. And in our data set, we have puzzles, but then we have abstracted away a lot of real world information and is focused on only the essentials that need to be understood to solve the problem. So I think these three elements are what our puzzles or data sets, the puzzle in our data sets are embarking on. And these are, I think, having a lot of applications in any sort of setting, whether it be factory settings, manufacturing, food processing, any setting that you can think of will have. And I think we are essentially looking at the foundations of intelligence in problem solving through the data set and our approach.
So there's so good practical applications. How should a company approach the risks, the inaccuracies, when they are trying to deploy these models?
That's a good question. The risks are enormous if depending upon the criticality of the application. And I think it is, for example, I mentioned before, the variance in the predictions of these large language models need to be within a bound. And how do you define that bound? And how do you define that the predictions don't have uncertainty beyond such limits? I think that is an important factor that needs to be understood if you really want to use these such models in real world applications. And I think that is also the biggest challenge with large language models currently, that their reasoning process is so fluid that you cannot really say, it is going to create this kind of an answer for this kind of a question. It is stochastic, and we are unable to characterize the stochasticity within it or implicitly within it, that we don't really know how to characterize the risks. And I think that is one of the biggest challenges that I'm thinking that would be detrimental to a lot of applications. And so we have to be wary about that.
So does that mean that we're not even close to AGI at this point, artificial general intelligence?
It's hard to say is what I would think. It seems like we are close to AGI, but probably we are not as close as we are perceiving it to be. For example, I mean, AGI would mean that it should, you should be able to ask any question, and it should be able to answer in the most humanly way. The response should be, and I think perhaps we are not really close to it. I mean, maybe we are approaching it in a direction that might make it feasible to have AGI in the next several years, but we probably are just seeing the tip of the iceberg, I would say, and there are a lot more to come. I would think maybe AGI is not something that should be limited to language models, but it should be beyond that, like including multimodality. I think multimodal AGI is perhaps quite away from us yet, still. In short words, I would say maybe an image is worth 1,000 words. And if large language models are those words that that we are using, then understanding an image would be 1,000 times more than understanding text. And if you are looking at videos and other modalities, maybe it's 1,000,000 times more complex to understand them. And that would be quite a challenge to get there. So I think true AGI is still quite far away.
Wonderful. And my final question is, what's next for your research?
We are looking at expanding this data set and making it more, more objective, and also kind of looking at other generative aspects of evaluating AI and also designing neural networks for beating our own puzzles. So what would be an approach that allows neural networks to do algorithmic reasoning? That is, like I said, deriving an algorithm, which I think is still an area in AI which is in its infancy. We have done a lot of work and made a lot of progress in perception and perceptual understanding, but algorithmic understanding is still not there. And so my research is targeted towards building models that can do algorithmic reasoning, and that's what we are working towards. And this data set and the paper that we wrote are all building blocks towards that big goal.
Wonderful. What a fascinating conversation. Thank you, Anoop, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
To get more AI news and insights, visit our website at aibusiness.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.